Reminder, we'll have two more of these coming up leading up to the launch of Destiny of Elias on February 22nd. So, focus of the webcast today, gentlemen, is flying mounts.
Yep.
Exciting, never been done before in EverQuest 2. Players have been wanting it for a long time. We've been talking about it since last fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we decide to put this in this expansion? What were you thinking?
It has, well, I mean, obviously because it's cool, but it has a huge impact on the game. It's a very cool thing for people to be able to explore the terrain, the different zones in a different way. Honestly, at first we were a little bit paranoid that it would make the zones feel smaller because you're traveling so fast and you could see so much. But everybody that's played the game with the flying mounts in it and like that feels like all the zones are bigger. There's you feel like you can go more places. There's more freedom of movement, and it's a really cool hook for people to go through and quest and earn something that's special. It's something you go all the way through your character's life, and then you get to Velius and you unlock these quests and get that mount, and all of a sudden you feel like you've achieved something major at a later stage in your life. It's very cool.
And mounts have just always been a popular add-on for players. I mean, the ground mounts, people love to collect the different styles, and you've been able to fly in the game for a while through our server-controlled mounts. You just haven't had the freedom to control them yourself, so it's kind of just the next progression to give you that extra freedom, and it's another, you know, type of mount that people really enjoy collecting.
So I want to ask you from a programming perspective, I mean, was this a big challenge to get this into the game? Was this a lot of work? What was involved?
It actually wasn't too bad. The biggest challenge that we faced was really interfacing with the art. When the zones are designed, they were designed from the standpoint of where you would be on the ground and what you can see. So artists don't always model things that you can see from up in the air. And so just simply allowing you to fly would expose bits of the terrain that really weren't prepared for people to see. This is one of the reasons why we had to implement sometimes a little bit lower of a ceiling than we'd like to in some of the zones, so you can't get up above things and see those areas that we didn't have time to go back and tweak. We have hundreds of zones in the game, so you can imagine how much time it would take for us to go and fix them all. So we wanted you to we had to touch every zone in order to add that ceiling and make it flyable. But if we were to actually go in and try to fix the art, you know, to really raise that ceiling, it would take a whole lot more time. So we tried to strike a balance in letting you fly in as many zones as possible, but keeping it so that you didn't see those parts of the terrain that really weren't designed, you know, for you to see.
Awesome. Dave, so I get the expansion at launch, of course. Hopefully you've pre-ordered. But I get in. When am I, you know, how are you going to lead me up to my first flying experience?
Oh, well, the you have to basically go through a sequence of quest events in order to be able to get it. So you have to work your way through Velius for a while until you get to that sequence. And then it's a series of quests that you have to complete, and at the end of that quest completion, then, and I don't want to spoil everything, but basically an event occurs at which point you now have access. You've earned the access to the flying mount.
Awesome. Now, we have griffins. It's obviously it's on the cover art. Beautiful cover art I've got. Let me see here. Awesome art. Core of EverQuest. What we got the griffin mount. There are different types of griffin mounts, or at launch.
Yeah, there's a series of different colors of the mount that you get through different kinds of ways. Like there's trade skill mounts. There's there's quest mounts. There's mounts that you unlock from raids. Some of them from easy raids. Some of them from hard raids. And then in addition to that, there's also the free blood cloud of bats, which is purchasable in the marketplace. And that has its own sequence of quests that have to be completed in order to be able to turn it from its regular ground mount variation to flying mount. It's not technically a mount, it's actually an ability, but it acts like a mount. And once you unlock that series of quests, then you can use that cloud of bats to actually fly through the air, which is cool.
I guess you technically call it a mount if you... Or actually, you become the cloud of bats.
And you get very small and you ride a bat. No, it's a cloud of bats. The lore is really interesting. Paul Molina wrote the lore for it, and they're doing something along the lines of you actually learn how to fly by associating with other bats. And then you, when you fly through the air as the cloud of bats, what you're basically doing is transforming into a bat and then flying with the other bats that you summoned and learned from.
Awesome. How does any of this affect Extended? If I'm an Extended player, How would I access the mounts?
Exactly the same. Yeah, it's the same. There's no difference between EverQuest 2 Extended and EverQuest 2.
Awesome. Do you think, I mean, is mouse in your mind, is this the coolest feature of the Destiny of LS expansion?
It's certainly one of the
definitely
coolest
one of
features.
The coolest. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be something that people are really going to enjoy. It's when you can fly around the world. It's a whole another way of looking at it. So it's something I think everybody's going to really enjoy. And it gives us, you know, a lot to do in the future. We've got other mount ideas that, you know, we've talked about and that I'm sure you'll see. And it's definitely another area that I think, you know, people will look forward to.
So I guess you heard it here first. Send in your mount ideas, and we'll get back.
It's true.
we'll definitely take them. That's what the forums are for. Mm-hmm. You know, moving on, I hear another feature that we haven't talked about yet is that there's going to be an events calendar
right
in the game.
Yeah, so we just introduced that in a beta. It's something we've been working on for a little while, and it's one of those ideas we've talked about for a really long time, and it's just a matter of time before these things start to take priority, but we felt it was time to go ahead and get that in the game. And the events calendar will allow us to post worldwide events, us being SOE, such as all of the holidays, Frostfell, Irelisi Day, and you know, guide events and that sort of thing. So everybody will be able to log in and see what's going on that month. And that'll be really cool. We think that's going to help people engage a little bit more. People are always wondering, when do Moonlight Enchantments start?
Exactly.
When are the city festivals? Yeah. So now they'll be able to log in and pull up their calendar and look at that. But really, one of the coolest things about it is being able to use it with your guild to create your own custom guild event. So, you know, guilds are very active in planning raids or setting up dungeon runs or just having guild meetings. And this will allow you to set those up and better communicate with your guild members so that you can be a little bit more coordinated. So we think people will really like that.
Fantastic. Well, I wanted to move on. We've got so many great questions, just like last week, from the players through the forums and our community team. We got Tiff and Joel behind the camera there. You can't see them, obviously, but they've compiled a list. And guys, you know, really appreciate this. This is fantastic feedback, and you know, we're here to make sure that we get you the answers that you're looking for. So, you know, a lot of questions this week about housing. I'll jump right in here. Will other players be able to use the house portals in the upcoming house system to warp between your houses?
Well, there's two different kinds of houses. There's the regular houses that you can acquire now with golden status. And then there's also prestige homes, which is a future feature that's coming out at about the same time as multiple house ownership. The prestige homes have the portal objects where you can port to a prestige home from a regular home, and that is definitely what you're asking, what they're asking for here. But from regular home to regular home, there is no current object that allows you to go from home to home that way. It's something we've talked about, and we're looking into it for the future. But that won't be in the initial release.
Awesome. Guild halls are a really popular feature of EverQuest 2. I've got a question here from a user. You know, are there any plans for guild halls and maybe some self-designed guild hall setups coming with the expansion?
Well, I mean, guild halls are an area that we do consider another progression path for the game, so we do have ideas about things we want to do in the future, nothing we can really talk about right now. As far as self-design, I'm not sure exactly what they mean by that, but, you know, we are looking at, you know, future level increases and thinking about things we can do for guild halls there. So there will be things coming, but really nothing that, you know, we have to announce right now.
Now, are we releasing, or we have anything that we've announced or ready to announce as far as new home zones like Peniel?
No.
Wow. Straightforward.
it just hasn't happened. It's not that we haven't thought of stuff like that. It's just that, no, it's not happening right now.
Sticking with the housing theme, with multiple housekeeping coming up, will it perhaps be possible to loot houses as quest rewards?
Yes. More monosyllabic answers for you. Yeah, it's definitely something we're going to do. As we make more and more of the prestige homes, we'll try to spread those out like loot. Or some of them would be in the marketplace. Some of them would be as loot. Some of them, you know, quest rewards, that sort of thing. And it'll just basically, as we create more assets, more inventory, then we'll start spreading them out more.
Last week we touched a little bit about public quests. You know, just to, you know, for those who didn't see it last week, I mean, can we just explain the feature again?
Sure.
What's cool about it? Why are you guys excited about it?
Well, the cool thing, obviously, is that you can participate with your friends, and you can feel like you're affecting the environment, because the quests sort of change depending on how you're doing. The more people that participate, the more they change as they go. And so if it's late at night and there's only a few people participating, what might happen can be different than what'll happen during the day when there's a lot of people. So it kind of grows with participation, and it's a good way to work with a larger number of people to reach a goal and get rewarded for it. And it's something really cool we're looking forward to. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like them because you basically stumble into something that you didn't expect. I mean, like, you may go through that area a couple times and not notice that something's going on, and then all of a sudden you realize, you know, there's this interesting thing going on. You can participate in it and achieve a common goal with other players at the same time, and that's just fun. And then our implementation of it is better than what I've seen in a lot of other games because it scales up and down, like Greg said.
I actually got a related question about the public quests, and actually, an idea as well. I mean, I would like to know if public quests will work their way into the lower tiers of content, and can't help but think that this would could revitalize some of the existing zones and the older zones.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's nothing that we've started doing yet. We're kind of running this as a test to see how they do, but we expect if they're really popular and they see a lot of action, then it's probably something we would expand in the other zones for sure.
It's something we're talking about right after Valles launches. Not for implementation, but for design and when we could implement stuff like that.
Fantastic. Talking a little bit about armor, we've got a question here. Will we be able to equip armor crates in an appearance slot of their own, decreasing the massive space unpacked armor crates take up in the inventory? Everybody's worried about that baggage space.
Inventory space is all.
Going to the airport.
the short answer, and we can't really reveal details right now, is probably not the way that the question was asked. But we know that it's an issue, and we have ideas on how we want to fix it. And so we just need to cement that down, and then we'll announce it later when we get a little bit going on. But we realize it's an issue. We definitely want to fix it. I want to fix it. I'd like people to have outfits and better storage for their appearance items or whatever it is, so that it's really easy to use that stuff. Because when you're collecting all this stuff, you don't have enough bags to carry it all. You don't want to put it all in your bank and fill up your bank. And plus, within it's in the bank, you can't use it anyway. So we've got to make that better, and then it'd be more fun for everybody.
Awesome. Got a question here about some of the raid changes related to Valles. We've heard a lot about raid progression, but I'm wondering what is in store for those of us who like to solo in our game a great deal of time. What kind of things have been planned to make this expansion something exciting for those of us who don't group up or raid that often? That's like me. It's not just because people won't quest with me. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is.
I guess in past expansions, a lot of times the raids have been on the epic storyline quest. So when you hit one of those areas, you kind of get blocked. We've taken care of this time to make sure that the epic storyline quest can be completed without having to necessarily go on the raids. But the raids are still still pivotal elements in the storyline that you can go participate in. And there's a lot of dungeons and stuff that are set out to be heroic. There's a heroic version of every dungeon so that you can get in there and play with a regular-sized group instead of having to go to an X2 or an X4. Mm-hmm. We've tried really hard to make sure that you can play through everything that's important in Valles without necessarily having to participate in a raid, but then setting up the raids so that they're really cool and very special and are the climactic points in a lot of the story that you learned as you played through solo or with a regular group.
We always give a lot of thought to solo play, too, and especially in this expansion cycle, we've looked at what can make overland combat more interesting, so we've tried to make sure that the creatures that you encounter when you're playing in the overlands have more interesting abilities, more types of things that you have to react to, so that combat is a little bit more fun, and we're always looking at how we can make the quests better. We implemented the point of interest system into our maps and make questing a little bit, less obtuse and trying to figure out exactly what they mean by search behind the stump, and now you can kind of be directed to areas so that solo play should be a little more streamlined, and it's always something we're looking at, and I think this expansion we've done a good job with making that solo play a lot more fun. And also with public quests, you don't need to be grouped in order to participate, so that's something else that solo-ers can look forward to.
There's a lot.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, that's a huge thing if you're a solo player. I was going to say the public quest, I mean, as well, too. I mean, if you're if you're just in, if you're just in, if your, your guildies aren't on, or your group's not on that you would normally quest with, it would be a great way to just get into some combat.
Yeah, and you're rewarded based on participation. So the longer you're part of that public quest and the more you meet those objectives, the better reward you'll get at the end as well. So
when you're designing an expansion, are you breaking out, let's say, hey, what this is what's going to be for the players who are more solo-minded, and this is what's going to be for, you know, for the raids and for the groups?
Yeah, always we have to, because you've got, you know, your raiders and your groupers and your soloers. We always have to think about making sure we have enough content for each of those play styles and the crafters, and, you know, there's so many different play styles in our game that we always want to make sure there's enough to do for each of those.
You know, the added, I mean, all the different classes, all of the different races that are in EverQuest after, you know, all the expansion content has been added. I mean, what goes into the planning process for that? I mean, how long does it take you just to get the ideas down on paper and the concepts in place so that you have a plan that you can say, okay, this is what's going to be in the expansion. Let's go and deliver on that.
Well, there's a reason why they only come out once a year.
Yeah. It takes a while. And we're still thinking of things. Even, you know, a month ago, we're like, hey, that would be cool to do. You know, the designing never stops. You just have to hit a point where you got to draw the line and go, we've got to stop here.
Well, who's drawing that line? Is that this guy right here? Or,
yeah, that's pretty much me. So, I mean, what we do is we allow people to be as creative as we possibly can as we go along. But there comes a point in the process where you realize that a certain new idea is going to take, you know, 2 months to implement, and you've got 1 month left. So even though it's a great idea, you got to shelve it and wait for later.
So would you say your role, I mean, you're playing part, you know, you're a fan, you're a player, you want to put as much cool content in as possible, and then you're also the, I've got this much time to do it, this is what I'm going to be able to get done in the time that I have. I mean, you're always walking that line.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, one of the things that I always tell people is you have to learn how to punt and fall back and figure out what you want to get done. Like, a lot of times the first time you do something, it's not really, it doesn't feel right, or it doesn't accomplish the goal that you wanted to do, and you have to kind of analyze it and then figure out, okay, all right, well, we only have a certain amount of time to go. We have to punt and fall back. We have to punt, fall back and punt. Anyway, so you have to kind of rethink it and then figure out some kind of solution that's still really super fun. And it's still great, but it's not necessarily the same as the original idea. A lot of times people will present ideas to us on the forums, and they're good ideas, but maybe it doesn't fit because of other ideas that are going on, other things that are in the game, like it would cause a problem in there, or we don't have time to implement it. But that doesn't mean there isn't a way to achieve that same idea in the amount of time and with resources that we have. It just comes at it from a different angle, and so that's the kind of thing we're rethinking all the time.
It's a tough job, but I'm sure. But it sounds like you love it.
It's a fun job, but I've been doing it for over 20 years. So, either I'm a glutton for punishment, or
knowing this guy, I wouldn't put that past you. So we've just got a few minutes left, but I did want to touch up. You guys checking out EverQuest 2 mobile yet? You got that on your smartphone?
Oh, yeah.
We're live on iPhone. We're live on Android. Are we up on BlackBerry yet?
Not quite yet. BlackBerry's dragging its feet for some reason.
I'm a BlackBerry user, so I'm waiting patiently. Yeah. Waiting patiently.
It's submitted. It's not our fault.
It's been great. I think we've got after going live and having sorting through things on the first day, it seems like we're up and a lot of people are up and enjoying the app right now.
Yeah, we had a tough first day. The server just crumbled under load a little bit, but they had it fixed within 12 hours. And now there's still a couple little glitches here and there, but in general it's been really robust, and it helps that it's free. Mm-hmm. So, everybody's checking it out, and then you can chat with guildies and all that other stuff. It's fun.
Awesome. So before we end, I just want to touch on any last questions that I didn't get to cover. So here's a good one. In the first webcast, we touched slightly on Velius Part 2, teasing a little content here and there. Can it be said in Velius Part 2 is planned to be another high-level only expansion, or will Part 2 be more widespread in level range? Is it decided yet?
No, it's not. It's not firmly decided one way or the other. To be honest, and you know, I'm starting to get a reputation on the forums, I hope, for honesty. So, to be absolutely honest, the probability is that it'll be aimed at mostly high level. However, if we're successful at bringing a lot of people in the next couple of months, then yeah, we would be stupid not to add some low-level content into it also. So we're going to make that decision a little bit later on, but the probability is there will be a lot of high-level content in it.
And we're still, of course, avidly working to promote bringing people into the game. We've got a large online advertising campaign taking place right now that's around the extended people. We still have thousands of people that come in every day and are trying EverQuest 2 for the first time. A lot of these people, or people who haven't come back in a while, to try and interact with the game in a new way. So it's really exciting to see what's happening with that line of the business.
Yeah.
So it's been another exciting podcast. Got a lot of great information about mounts. We're going to be live here again, same time, next Friday. This is all leading up to the launch of EverQuest 2, Destiny of Veilius, on February 22nd. Don't forget, we've mentioned that we're going to have a week of Veilius launch events. We've teased the first day, which is going to be a
Othmir Illusion Day, so you can play as an Othmir.
And we're going to have 7 other days of exciting content that we'll tease out over time. So, it's going to be an exciting time to be an EverQuest 2 player. I want to thank the community again for joining us, and we're going to look forward to joining you again next week. Please keep your questions coming. Thanks so much.